The Chicago Bulls have reportedly made a draft promise to guard Devin Carter. Talk a little bit about that. Plus, GM Mark Eversley has signed a 3-year contract extension. We're going to talk about why that could be the case. And are the Bulls yet again taking the wrong approach when it comes to reshaping their roster already with some of the rumors that we've heard? I'll explain all that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, Terry Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that being said, let's go ahead and get into this content today, y'all. So I want to start off with the new news, right? We had a breaking news episode on the Patrick Williams and Devin Carter thing, but we'll get into that kind of more in detail here in a second. But Mark Eversley has apparently signed a 3-year extension with the Chicago Bulls that actually kicks in this July. So just next month that kicks in. And me and Pat talked about this over on Locked On Bulls, and Pat was kind of down on the move. Basically, Pat took that as meaning that there is little to no chance that the Bulls are going to make significant changes if they've done something like this and lock in GM Mark Eversley. And while it's not that I can understand that take 100%, I'm going to take a different approach on this and say, what if that the 3-year contract extension to Mark Eversley, which apparently would have been signed, I think, last offseason. Darnell Mayberry reported on this. Kind of unclear if he was reporting that he just recently signed it or if it's something that may be signed last year. If you remember last summer, we also heard that Mark Eversley, Arturis Karnišova, also had secret extensions on top of the one that we found out about with Billy Donovan. So there's some thought process on when this extension possibly happened. But whenever it happened, giving 3 years to me would mean that you got 3 years to turn this thing around, that whatever changes you make this offseason, you now have 3 years to see those changes through and to come out on the other side of that in a much better situation, hopefully with the place of the team. And so that's the way that I'm going to choose to look at this, right? Is that, you know, and we'll, of course, it'll be told by what we see happen this offseason. But I think overall it comes down to if you've locked your GM, right? And I know a lot of people kind of wonder how much hands-on Mark Eversley has. You know, Mark Eversley, who, you know, I think that he's a behind-the-scenes guy, but I don't think that, you know, as much as we look at Arturis Karnišova because he is the one that talks to us and things like that, I think that Mark Eversley does have a bigger role in place in decision-making and some of the things that have led to this team. Now, that could be a positive or a negative for you, depending on how you're looking at it. But I think that giving him a 3-year extension basically means that this is a 3-year, faith play in, we're going to make some changes here. You got 3 years to get this team in a much better situation, him and Arturis Karnišova. But I don't think that a president of basketball operations is going to sign a GM to a contract that would last longer than his contract. So either they have the same 3-year contract extension or maybe Arturis Karnišova has even longer than that. And I'll let y'all chew on that one forever, how you feel on that. But I think that that's what it comes down to, is that with this, it just is giving that 3 years that if the Bulls are making changes, or maybe even isn't about changes, it's a 3-year stamp to say, we got 3 years to turn this thing around and to get us in a much better situation in place. Or you could take the kind of the mindset that Pat the Designer takes on it. And that is, this is 3 years, meaning that, oh, DeMar's going to absolutely resign. It's probably going to resign for a 3-year deal, and we're going to ride it out that way. So let me know what you guys think overall on that. Like I said, it's not that I'm pessimistic on some things with this team, but I also always try to look at both sides of the coin. And so while there's a complete chance that this is another big sign of just running everything back, I do think that there could be a chance of, hey, we don't want to change GMs in the middle of making some significant changes to this roster, and we want to be able to see that vision through on whatever this next phase of this roster ends up turning into. At least that's the way that I decide to look at it, and we'll see what happens with that one. Overall, Mark Eversley is a guy who, you know, he's going to eventually get a president of basketball operations role. I just think that that's coming at some point. There's still a probability that he doesn't even see out this full 3 years on this deal. And if that's the case, you know, he's interviewed for a lot of them. He hasn't gotten them, which could also be a sign of something there that he keeps interviewing but doesn't get it. But eventually, if teams keep calling the same guy, eventually some team is going to hear his take or whatever it is and say, you're probably going to be our president of basketball operations. and then we'll see. But for guys like Winton Mahorn, shout out to my brother Winton. This is at least 3 years. If he stays with the Bulls, that you don't have to worry about Billy Donovan moving into the front office, which I know a lot of Bulls fans with my theory on that has been kind of triggered by that. So at least this is something that Winton could look at and be like, whoa, hey, Billy Donovan, he ain't going to be that GM. So there you guys go on that one, man. But with that said, we got quite a bit of news yesterday, and a lot of it did come from Darnell Mayberry and his article. But a draft promise to guard Devin Carter. And I had an emergency episode. It was less than a 10-minute episode talking about this, a little bit about half the episode. And having some more time to kind of think and own it is that, you know, yes, I would love to think that the Bulls, if they've made a draft promise to a guard, means that a move may be coming that may get them another pick and they can draft a center or a big or, something with that other pick. But ultimately, I think this is also one of the drafts where you got to kind of go talent. And the Bulls right now are looking for a talent influx. And, you know, could they have him as number one on their board? It's a possibility, right? Deron Holmes as well is another player that he's canceled all his workouts with teams because he got reportedly a promise as well. So, you know, we'll see what happens with Devin Carter. The last time the Chicago Bulls were reported to make a draft night promise, that came to Chandler Hutchinson. And we all know how that went. But Devin Carter is a guy who has that dog in him. And that is like, as the player, I don't have any issues with the player of Devin Carter and who he is. Some questions lie on, all right, the fit here, right? A 6'3 guard with a 6'8 wingspan, 193 pounds, defensive, great. Like, he's a defensive dog. You look at the on-ball point of attack defense, you talking about bringing Abel to have him, Ayo Dosunmu, Alex Caruso, if he stays around, those are point of attack defenders that are going to terrorize opposing teams. He does have that dog in him. He has way more offensive upside as well than even like a player like Alex Caruso. So I get it as far as the talent aspect of it. And you know, this isn't the first time that we've heard as well that the Bulls could be interested in guards in this upcoming draft. We know that the Bulls are looking to move on from Zach LaVine. And that could play a part in getting another guard in here as well. Maybe you're moving Kobe to the off-ball guard. And maybe you're moving Ayo Dosunmu back to the bench. Or maybe you're keeping Kobe and Ayo as you're starting one and two. And then maybe you do bring Devin Carter off. Devin Carter is a player that, you know, he has a lot of potential. And the jokes about the hairline and things are all there. Believe me, I've made them. I'm going to keep making them until he shaves that shit off. Because sometimes it looks like he got a Jerry Curl and sometimes it looks like he got a Frederick Douglass. It just is what it is. But you look at somebody who, over the course of their collegiate career, up their scoring every single year. 9 points per game as a freshman, for South Carolina. 13 points per game as a sophomore for Providence. And then 19.7 points per game as a junior at Providence. As well as his minutes going up every year. 19 minutes played as a freshman, 32 minutes played as a sophomore, 35 minutes played as a junior, and his shooting percentage went up every single year as well. 42% freshman, 42.7% as a junior, 47% as a junior as well. And that last year as a junior, also shooting the ball almost 40% from three at 37.7%, taking 6.8 three-pointers per game. Assist doesn't really do a whole lot wise. 3.6 assists his junior year. He averaged 2.7 assists in his collegiate career, but he also averaged 8.7 rebounds as a guard. An undersized guard at that in college. And we also got another decently solid rebounding guard in Kobe White as well. So, you know, I could see the vision of it. It's not necessarily what you would expect the Bulls to do on paper because this is a deep that's deep. This is a draft that's deep. I think I reversed those words. This is a draft that's deep in power forward centers and wings. So you wouldn't necessarily expect a guard to be that. But, you know, Devin Carter, I wouldn't be surprised if they do play him as a small ball, two and three at times, which, again, I know that's going to trigger some people as well. But he's just a guy who just he gets after it. He's a guy that if you watch him play basketball, you see a guy that is just passionate about it. He gives that fire. He gives that competition level and rebounding defense. He even attacks the rim very well on top of that. He hits layups like he has all the raw skills that you're looking at, especially in a draft that's labeled as weak and you're trying to find a diamond in the rough. Finding a guy like Devin Carter, who, yeah, 22 years old, a little bit older, for example, he's damn near the same age as Patrick Williams, right? But in seeing a guy that plays and executes that way, there's enough reason to think and believe that he is going to maximize whatever potential that you see in him. So if you see that high-level potential from him, it would make sense to go out and get him. roster-wise, it brings about a lot of questions. And, of course, you know, you're looking at the Zach LaVine trade, which sends out a guard. You're looking at Alex Caruso. Maybe you're moving him, which sends out another guard. The question is what are you getting back in that case? If you're operating next season, and let's just say for this experiment, let's say that Alex Caruso stays on the roster, right? We'll just look at this and say Alex Caruso is still going to be here. That leaves you a guard depth of Coby White, Ayo Dosunmu, Alex Caruso, potentially Lonzo Ball as well, and you're looking at Devin Carter. Now, if you do move on from Alex Caruso and you do get another pick in this draft, we're not even going to say it's number three overall. Let's say something like the OKC Thunder, which I think draft 18th or something. Let's say it's something like that, right? And then you're looking at, you got Coby, Ayo, Devin Carter, and maybe at that point the Bulls are saying that they're confident in Lonzo Ball's ability to return. You know, and play a role. Not be what he was when he left, but maybe play some type of role to where they're getting quality minutes from him. So, and the Oklahoma City Thunder actually pick after the Bulls number 12. I don't know why I thought they picked 18th. That's Orlando's pick. So there are some things that it can make a move like this make sense. But that then is trusting that the Bulls are going to do.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Something else, and I know a whole lot of Bulls fans don't have faith in that. So, you know, overall, it's confusing, right? And that is not no different than what we've seen from this Bulls front office. There's a lot of confusing things that happen with this Bulls front office consistently. And so I understand the doubt hearing that from the Bulls. But let's be clear here. This is still speculative. So we don't even know if they're actually the team that made the promise to Devin Carter. And let's see what happens there, right? If they do end up drafting Devin Carter, I do think that as the player, in the vacuum of who the player is, right? Let's take away where he's picked at. Let's take away not looking at the needs that the Chicago Bulls have, but just in getting a good player with tons of potential in a draft, Devin Carter checks all those boxes. So we'll see what happens here. I hope that it is some other moves planned by the Chicago Bulls, or maybe they feel they're going to get something back for a Caruso or something like that. But it'll be interesting to watch for sure. If the Bulls go through the draft, don't make any draft day moves, and only take Devin Carter with the number 11 overall pick, Bulls fans are going to riot. And it doesn't mean that it's going to necessarily not work out for the Bulls. It just means that initial response from Bulls fans will be crazy to see. But with that said, we also, from Darnell Mayberry, got another comment on Patrick Williams. And, you know, Patrick saying that Patrick Williams is somebody that the Thunder have great interest in. Direct quote. If the Bulls have seen enough of the Williams experiment, one team that has great interest, a league source said, is Oklahoma City. The Thunder need more size, and they have an army of draft picks that they can sweeten the pot for the Bulls if a sign-and-trade emerges in July. He also added into this, and this is something that I do think we talked about in the middle of the season, but I kind of forgot about, is the fact that Patrick Williams and his agent actually turned down a $16 million annual extension. Meaning, we don't know the years, but $16 million per, that's more than what we've heard that the Bulls could be willing to offer this offseason. So, you know, if it comes down to Patrick Williams wants to be paid, right, which is something that we've heard a little bit about in previous times, that though, you know, we don't know for sure what's going to happen there, but we've heard a little bit about that. If Patrick Williams does want a huge contract and the Bulls just aren't willing to match what the demands are by the OKC Thunder, it brings about some other questions in the sense that, okay, now do you look to move on from them? And then what can you get back? And the Oklahoma City Thunder are a team that, whether it's this year's first round picks or it's next year's first round picks, they have a bevy of picks every single year. Now, when you look at potential picks for 2026, they have the Houston Rockets pick, which is top four protected. If it doesn't fall in the top four, if it goes to the OKC Thunder. So anywhere between 5 to 30, that goes to the Thunder. The Thunder have the Los Angeles Clippers pick outright, right? They have that. They also have the Miami Heat's pick. So they have their own pick. They have a potential 76ers pick. So because of that and those things, you're then looking at the Thunder being able, we've talked about how the 2025 draft is the next really deep draft and the chance for the Bulls to find a franchise-altering talent on paper, right? We've talked about how the Bulls with themselves, if they do move on from some things, could also keep their own pick, which is top 10 protected, to the San Antonio Spurs. If the Bulls come out of a Patrick Williams move, if they come out of that and they have two picks in 2025, I tell you that right now, it's not a bad move at all. It's going to be something that Bulls fans, of course, for a year, wonder, hey, especially if Patrick Williams goes to the OKC Thunder and looks good at, Bulls fans, again, may damn near riot, right? But in if you're looking at adding more opportunities and more bites at the apple at chances for truly game-changing or franchise-altering talent, that's what the 2025 draft offers the Chicago Bulls a chance to do. So they'll have to look at that, right? Now, ultimately, I do think that the Bulls are going to be motivated to keep Patrick Williams. We know that they're still high on the 22-year-old forward, but I do think that it comes with a price tag that they are willing and interested in because realistically, Patrick Williams has shown flashes, right? Defensively, we know what Patrick Williams is. Even in December, after Zach LaVine initially went down, Patrick Williams probably played his most aggressive basketball before the foot injury started having him taper off and then eventually finished his season. So you have those things that you can look at with Patrick Williams as well. And that's what the Bulls have to evaluate overall in this offseason is the future of Patrick Williams and what potential they still see in that and the value in the contract that they're willing to pay for that. It's kind of what Ryan Poles does with the Chicago Bears, and we'll see what comes out of it. So we'll end up seeing with that one. I just wanted to talk about that kind of a little bit more in depth. But then that leads me to the last topic on today's episode. Are the Bulls potentially taking the wrong approach again? And the reason why I say that is this. If you move on from Patrick Williams, right, and I get it, a lot of Bulls fans are ready to label Patrick Williams a bust. They're ready to move on. I don't, at this point, I've kind of moved off of looking at him at the, as a fourth overall pick. I'm just looking at him as the player that he is. But if the Bulls are willing to move on from a 22-year-old guy that still has tons of potential, right, that brings about that PTSD that Bulls fans have had, are they making the same mistake that the Bulls made theoretically with Vooch and Lauri Markkanen? Are they making that again if they re-sign DeMar DeRozan at $40 million or more per season and let Patrick Williams walk away to a young developing team like the OKC Thunder? Is that potentially what's happening here? And that is just looking at the overarching view on it, right? If you let a player walk away that is 22 years old and re-sign a 35-year-old player for $40 million, what are you doing, right? What are you doing? Are you so caught up at that point in the desire to appear competitive, because the Bulls really aren't competitive, but to appear competitive with your future? And that's, again, nobody's saying here that Patrick Williams is going to be a franchise-altering talent in the future. But guess what? I'm sorry. I hate to tell you guys, and DeMar DeRozan isn't a franchise-altering talent at this point of his career either. He's a talent that is better, right? You understand what he's going to be, and he's going to be there a lot more consistently. But making that same mistake in letting a young, and even looking outside of the Patrick Williams of all this, paying DeMar DeRozan $40 million when your team is struggling to keep a ninth seed, to me, is asinine. And it's made worse if you yet young players that still have some potential walk away before you get an opportunity for them to sink or swim. And that's the way that I'm choosing to look at it here with this Patrick Williams talk and the potential of him going away to the OKC Thunder. You have to ask yourself, what are you really doing here? And that's where it comes into a place where it's like, hey, like, and like I said before, your chances of keeping your top 10 protected pick in 2025, regardless, you have a better chance at doing that by keeping Patrick Williams and letting DeMar DeRozan walk. But with that said, if Patrick Williams does all of a sudden, let's say you do take away DeMar, like a lot of people think, you move Patrick Williams back to the three, and all of a sudden he looks like the guy we need and want him to be, and then we miss out on the number 10 pick, at least you've done that then with a 22, 23-year-old player rather than a 34, 35-year-old player. That just makes more sense. And so that's what you really want to look at. And it's frustrating that the Bulls continue to seemingly make these same mistakes in different ways, right? And, you know, ultimately, I think that for the best chance at long-term success, it comes via, you have to do what you initially said you were going to do when you came into Chicago. Build organically, through the draft, and develop. That is the best chance for longer sustained success by the Chicago Bulls. Lonzo Ball, I get it, and I hope that he is able to make a return, but he's not turning your franchise around. He's just not, right? And so at some point, you got to be willing to allow your young players a huge chance to either sink or swim. And so that's just kind of what I take away from hearing this. And, you know, the Bulls, it is what it is. They're going to do what they're going to do. We're going to evaluate it. We're going to watch it. We're going to, you know, talk about it and go over it ad nauseum, whether it was the right decision or not, revisit it in 2 or 3 years. But this is an opportunity for true change for the Chicago Bulls. And the more that we talk about change, it seems like more that the Bulls are doing the same thing. Now, this isn't the front office that drafted Chandler Hutchinson. So me earlier bringing up the draft promise to Devin Carter and Chandler Hutchinson, completely different front office. And like I said, with the Mark Eversley thing, there's a chance that Mark Eversley, that 3-year extension, is to see through this change that maybe is on the precipice coming for the Chicago Bulls. The OKC Thunder interest in Patrick Williams. And, oh, by the way, something I didn't talk about in that also before we go is that with the OKC Thunder having the third most cap space in the league next year, if they wanted to just make a bite at a fifth most cap space in the offseason at $35.2 million, if the OKC Thunder just wanted Patrick Williams, they could assign Patrick Williams to an offer sheet that maybe the Bulls just can't and won't match. And that is another scary thing in all of this and why maybe the Bulls will look to sign and trade Patrick Williams, because if a team like the Thunder are interested in him, a team like the Detroit Pistons that have tremendous cap space, hell, even a team like the Philadelphia 76ers make a sign Patrick Williams to an offer sheet that is upwards of $20 million, the Bulls, especially if they're re-signing DeMar DeRozan, just won't be able to match that, just with avoiding the luxury tax. So that's another thing in all of this, right? And so we got to see, man. Like I've said before, a not re-signing DeMar DeRozan almost eliminates the Bulls' cap concerns with avoiding the luxury tax. And that's something else you got to review and look at in all this as well. This is going to be, it's getting more and more interesting that we're hearing. But like I said, the more things change, the more they may stay the same for the Chicago Bulls. But let's hope some actual change comes about. Let me know what you guys think on all the topics that we talked about down below. If you're on the YouTube side, if you're on the podcast side, I'll tell you at the end of the show how to get your thoughts in. Make sure you guys are following the show at Bulls Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullcentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, thanks to you guys. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See red if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.